This is Tuatic Radio episode 28. Another Tuat Comina Job Sweaty.
Dossman, and you're listening to the 28th edition of Twat Tech Radio. Basically, I'm just going to go ahead and pick up where I left off from episode 15, the last time you heard from me, and I was discussing computer forensics. If you didn't listen to that episode, to get you caught up to speed, basically, I just talked about some methodologies, whether to pull the plug or to try to capture memory from a system that's found to be compromised, steganography, encryption, other things of that nature. And where I was heading into was a discussion of HPA and DCO settings, which is some low-level ATA command type things you can do to potentially conceal areas of your hard drive. Some researchers came out and realized that using some low-level ATA commands, you can resize the disk as from a logical standpoint. And one of these was called HPA, or Host Protected Areas. And this was a suggested use for this was for, say, system recovery. You could have a low-level part of the disk drive that, say, when Joe Blow Dell downloads the latest NIMDA worm, or not NIMDA, but the next Melissa email virus, and corrupts their system, they can just pop in this Dell boot disk, and it, instead of actually installing Windows off of a CD image, it would go ahead and just say, tell the disk to do a low-level copy from this hidden area of the disk over to this other area. And this is below, like, say, the partition. It's my understanding, anyway. This is, like, lower level than the file system or the partition. We're not talking about a hidden partition. This is data out lower level than the partition. So it's kind of a unique circumstance that could allow you to hide data that way. And supposedly even less well-known than the host protected areas is the DCO, or device configuration overlays. And I guess I'm kind of using these terms wrong. These are actually, I believe, commands, ATA commands. And it basically allowed you to do the same thing. Now, it is possible to detect that these methods have been used. However, commercial software, for the most part, was unaware of this. Like Encase, some versions of Encase, like, say, the Windows versions, do not, at least at the time that the this publication was published, do not support the ability to detect this. So you could potentially have half your hard drive hidden outside of a Joe Blow forensic window forensic point and click examiner, and he'd have no idea. The DC, and there's different commercial tools. Now Encase, certain versions of other versions of Encase would actually detect some of this, like the DOS version. If you read the paper, it explains what versions did and did not detect this stuff, these hidden areas of the disk. Of course, there's also things like sparing out, like most hard drives these days have the ability to spare out bad sectors. Like, say, it'll internally detect a bad sector on the disk, and it'll use its little reserve of sectors to swap it out logically. So the operating system has no idea that there's a bad sector there. It would just go ahead and replace this area. And there's the potential that one could use, if they could figure out how, could create software that would allow them to keep data hidden out in that way. And then I'm sure there's other ways, too. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that's embedded in ATA command set that lets you do cool things. As an example, HPA and DCO can be set with a tool called TAFT, the Anti-Forensics Toolkit. That'll be on the websites vidstrom.net, vidstrom.net, and you can find it further from there. So that's some things you can play with. So I'd like to move on to discussing the investigators themselves. You know, early on, there was really only the people that really understood what was going on were doing investigations. People like, you know, Dan Farmer and whatnot. Then, I mean, as this became a something that needed to be done on a more regular basis, as more and more systems were broken into and people not only noticed that they were broken into, but needed to find out who did this and whatnot, the computer forensics industry, I guess, has kind of become a booming area. So just like anything, once an area of that once went from either hobbyist or scientific realm now becomes a commercial entity or a commercial industry, you got people that are doing this. This is just another job. And I don't know any of these people personally, and I'm making a pretty broad assumption here, a pretty broad guesstimation, but I'm going to say that, you know, there's going to be lots of methods and stuff that if you can come up with that may protect you that from a point-and-click forensic investigation. Now, I wouldn't assume that any of these are going to protect you. You need to layer things to protect yourself. You need to build, you know, encryption on top of steganography, on top of other methods that haven't even been thought of yet to protect yourself if you need to feel you need to do that. Back to what I was trying to make the point. Things like this HPA and this DCO setting, something really took the industry by surprise in a lot of respects. So there are ways to protect yourself and keep data hidden from the government. It's very possible. Is it going to stay that way forever? No. You're going to have to keep jumping from lily pad to lily pad. But, you know, that's just something to keep in mind. And Horizon, upcoming. Things to where I have not seen any research specifically done, or where I've seen researchers say, well, we could see this could potentially be done, but no one's ever done it, so we don't look for it. One of those would be, in my personal point of view, if they can't find the data, then it doesn't exist. So Wi-Fi has really opened up a big door there for a lot of people, hiding your data on other people's systems. Part of that, I mean, if they come in and they realize that you're accessing a file server that is not on your property through Wi-Fi, well, if somehow they are able to come up to that conclusion, then, I mean, they're just going to pull out the Wi-Fi meter, strength meter, and start looking around. If you hide your data on your neighbor's computer, they're just a week later they get another subpoena and get their system as well. It might buy you some time, depending what type of activity you're doing. That may be all you need to protect yourself or whatever organization you work for. But, you know, there's things you could potentially do there to mitigate that exposure. Things like if you could... you can use things to throw off the scent. You can make it look like you're using your neighbor's computer, but you really have a file server buried in the backyard that doesn't respond except to your MAC address and, you know, that type of thing. And, of course, MAC address spoofing aside, I mean, you could do some low-level things to make it only respond to your signal if it's coming from a certain direction or... You know, the sky's the limit. If you're really, you know, if you have the ability to create some low-level hardware and do some real fine tinkering. The other thing, the last area is taking full control of the computer. And that means modifying your BIOS, modifying the microcode or the firmware in the disk drive itself. And this is... You know, people like Dennis Ritchie, one of the co-designers, writers of Unix, has a real good paper that talked about this. You can, all things have microcode. I'm going to refer to it as microcode because my previous job, that's what I always called it. That's what it was called instead of firmware. So microcode is in everything. You can update the microcode on disk drive, PCI cards, system planers, If you can modify the microcode in your hard drive to respond to special calls and only, you know, allow it to work with your motherboard or allow access to the hidden area of the data of the drive while it's attached to your motherboard, I mean, that right there, if you could do that today, you would be safe. No forensic investigator is going to find that. And, I mean, I take that back. No forensic investigator that's for anything less, you know, that if you're being investigated for some big, huge, well-known national security incident, you know, that's the only thing that could possibly save your ass. If outside of that, if they're investigating you because you downloaded some songs, you got nothing to worry about. There are no higher gun investigating you for looking for music or something. I mean, something piddly like that. They're not going to find something that's hidden by microcode in your disk drive. I mean, that there's absolutely no way. They do not have complete control over your system at that point. No matter how far they disassemble it, no matter what they use to image the disk, they do not have complete control over your hardware at that point. If once you personally control the microcode, the firmware, the BIOS, so to speak, of the soul of the machine, there's just nothing they can do once you get in that deep. And it's now within the realm of people to do that. Short of that, I mean, physically modifying the hardware as far as replacing ROM chips, rewiring it, you know, I mean, getting into more of a self-destruction mode where, say, you rewire the power pins on your power supply and internally on the power plug and the hard drive, you know, you could have some fun with that. Unless you were able to come up with some way for it to do something to the drive, as far as the magnetic media stored on the platters, that'll just blow out the board on the card. They take it to a hard drive recovery specialist. They replace the board. They can still access all the data on the platters. But, you know, maybe it burns it up. Maybe it catches the forensic machine on fire. And, you know, you're probably only going to make things worse for yourself at that point, because if equipment gets burned down in the attempt to investigate your machine, you better have a very legitimate reason for having done that that doesn't include, oh, I wanted to protect my data. I'm an experimenter and I build my own hard drive logic boards. Maybe. If you have a reputation that can back that up. So that's really the horizon of where things are going as far as the ability to hide something from a forensic practitioner. I guess I might just touch on disk arrays, the other frontier that could interfere with a forensic investigation. If, say, someone breaks into a system and, say, it's got a SAN, and it's in a SAN environment, the disk devices themselves that the investigator needs to isolate and hold on to as evidence, if they're in a SAN system of some type, depending on how the system's set up, that right there could cause the whole investigation to halt. And why is that? Well, a lot of these large SAN systems have multiple hosts, multiple computers that access them. The SAN system itself maintains a RAID array independent of the operating system. We're not talking about just a regular RAID array that's built off of a single system. This RAID array supports, say, 20 systems. And let's say this 20 systems make up, say, all the database systems that, say, run the IRS. And let's say they can't afford to shut those systems down, rebuild the array from backups for a week. And that right there costs so much money that it's really not worth, they can't get, it would cost them so much money they would have to, it would not be worth the investigation at that point. They would only be able to use that particular data that could be gleaned from that system that was broken into as an incidental manner. It could not be used actually in the courtroom, but it could be used to find other data that could be used. The other thing, of course, you're pulling out, some of these SAN systems use proprietary disks that, you know, they're the skill set to be able to remove those disks and not be able to ruin the system hardware, it'd be extremely rare outside of the manufacturer themselves. And you're talking about you'd end up having to pay the manufacturer directly in order to come up with someone that would even have a clue what you're doing, a forensic investigation. And then next, be able to do what you're wanting, which is remove disks and then be able to access them offline outside of the SAN system. Specifically, I'm speaking about things like, say, large EMC system storage arrays or IBM things like the IBM Shark and whatnot. These things use, like, say, SSA or other disk technologies that are not, this isn't just a SCSI disk you can pop into a SCSI drawer, you know, attach your little Linux forensic investigation system. So those are other things, you know, that a forensic investigator is put up against that, depending what kind of system is broken into, you know. And the other thing, also mainframes. I mean, in other systems, you know, VAXes. No boot camper forensic investigator is going to be able to go in and do a forensic investigation on a VAX, you know. Not to say that there, I'm sure there's some good people out there that can do that. Those are things that really, from a forensic investigator's perspective, make the job very challenging. If they're not, you know, once they get out of the realm of doing, you know, simple Windows and Linux or Unix investigations. So, well, anyway, I hope you've enjoyed this edition of TWAT Radio. I kind of talked about this as if I really knew anything at all about computer forensics, which I really don't. I've never really honestly performed a computer forensics investigation or something. If you disagree with something I said or have something you'd like to bring up about that, feel free to send me an email at dosman@packetsniffers.org, and I'll bring it up whenever my next segment comes up. So thanks for listening. Have a great day.